What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 340. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using piperacillin tazobactam in ESBL infection, answer the drug information question, should adjunctive dexamethasone be given to adults with bacterial meningitis if they've already received at least one dose of antibiotics, and share a tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode340. The title of the article for this episode is Effect of Piperacillin Tazobactam versus Meropenem on 30-day mortality for patients with E. coli or Klebsiella bloodstream infection and ceftriaxone resistance. The lead author is Patrick Harris, and this was published in JAMA September 2018. Extended spectrum beta-lactamases confer resistance to third-generation cephalosporins in bacteria such as E. coli and Klebsiella. This leads to treatment with carbapenems, which in turn may select for carbapenem resistance. Some ESBL strains resistant to ceftriaxone will test as sensitive to piperacillin tazobactam. Because of this, some clinicians have recommended using piperacillin tazobactam to treat ESBL infections as a carbapenem sparing strategy. The authors of the study sought to determine whether definitive therapy with piperacillin tazobactam is non-inferior to meropenem in patients with bloodstream infection caused by ceftriaxone non-susceptible E. coli or Klebsiella pneumonia. The study design was a non-inferiority parallel group randomized clinical trial that included hospitalized patients enrolled from 26 sites in 9 countries. Eligibility criteria required adults with at least one positive blood culture with E. coli or Klebsiella testing non-susceptible to ceftriaxone but susceptible to piperacillin tazobactam. Nearly 400 patients were included in the study. Patients were randomly assigned 1:1 to IV piperacillin tazobactam 4.5 grams every 6 hours or meropenem 1 gram every 8 hours for a minimum of 4 days up to a maximum of 14 days. The total duration of antibiotics was actually determined by the treating clinician. The primary outcome was all-cause mortality at 30 days after randomization. A non-inferiority margin of 5% was used. 30-day mortality was 12.3% in the piperacillin tazobactam group, compared with just 3.7% in the meropenem group. Piperacillin tazobactam did not meet the non-inferiority margin set by the study. Non-fatal serious adverse events were not significantly different between groups. The authors concluded among patients with E. coli or Klebsiella bloodstream infection and ceftriaxone resistance, definitive treatment with piperacillin tazobactam compared with meropenem did not result in a non-inferiority 30-day mortality. These findings do not support the use of piperacillin tazobactam in this setting. The study clearly indicates that the carbapenem-sparing strategy using piperacillin tazobactam over meropenem for patients with ESBL bacteremia should be abandoned. As I discussed back in episode 8, piperacillin tazobactam may be a carbapenem-sparing option in ESBL urinary tract infection, but I would not use it in any severe infection or bacteremia. The drug information question for this episode is, should adjunctive dexamethasone be given to adults with bacterial meningitis if they've received at least one dose of antibiotics? And my answer is no, according to the IDSA guidelines for bacterial meningitis. The reason for the specific timing of dexamethasone in this patient population is because the studies that demonstrated benefit were the ones where dexamethasone was administered before the first antibiotic dose. This exact quote from the IDSA guidelines appears in the pediatric and adult sections. Adjunctive dexamethasone should not be given to adult patients who have already received antimicrobial therapy because administration of dexamethasone in this circumstance is unlikely to improve patient outcome. And my tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. At the beginning of any rapid response or emergent procedure, such as a rapid sequence intubation, make note of your patient's starting heart rate, rhythm, oxygen saturation, and blood pressure. Any significant change in these vital signs could signal clinical deterioration and can serve as a prompt for the pharmacist to obtain additional medications to serve the needs of the patient. For example, new onset bradycardia and hypoxia during a difficult intubation may be a signal to obtain atropine or the CodeCart, while tachycardia and hypotension may signal the need to obtain vasopressors and IV fluids. Predicting pharmacotherapy needs in advance shortens the lag time from physician order to medication administration, which may be exactly what's needed to have a positive impact on the care of your patient. You can get my 6 tips for pharmacists responding to codes in my free download area at pharmacyjoe.com/free. It's download number 16. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.